Do you believe that assisted suicide is right? Yes or no? And should Kevorkian have been glorified in a movie? Now, I didn't see the movie. I don't know if he's glorified in this. And maybe some of you who have, my guests that are coming up, Neil Nicole is an author of the book, The Dying and the Dead. He has been a friend and a co-worker of Dr. Kevorkian since 1961 and assisted him on many occasions. We'll speak to him this morning. We're also going to speak to a guest right now, a researcher with the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada. I'm going to get to the phone now and bring him on. Derek Medema is with us. Hi, Derek.
Hi, how are you?
I'm not too bad. Derek, have you had a chance to see this film, if you will?
I have not. I don't subscribe to HBO, so I haven't been able to see it.
Yeah.
But I've read lots of the reviews.
And what is it? Is it a glorification of this man's life, or is it just a string of tragedy? I mean, some people would think that a man that went this route is a tragic character in the first place. I mean, is it glorifying this guy, or is it telling a true tale in some respects?
Well, basically, from the research I've done as to who Jack Kevorkian is, who Dr. Death is, and what kind of motivation he had for what he did, I see the movie as a huge act of historical revisionism. I think the author of the book and likely the director of the film made the film in an attempt to bring a very unsavory character into the public eye again, and to try to rehabilitate Dr. Death's image. Because what I've found in my research is that, you know, you really don't want to know Jack by reason of what kind of man he is.
You know, there are people over the years who have said he's really helped us, and then there are people who have said initially that he'd really helped us, and then they had a chance to revisit their thinking and change their mind on it. So, I mean, there are people that do say that he helped them and their families, but is that disingenuous?
I can't speak for those individuals. All I can speak of is based on his track record,
mm-hmm.
and I know that Dr. Death got a start in terms of publishing by photographing a patient's eyes as she died. He thought he could pinpoint the point of death by looking at her eyes, and he taped her eyelids open and took pictures of her eyes, of her eye, while she was dying and past the point of death, so that he could have that proof. He advocated in the late 50s getting approval of prison inmates to anesthetize them permanently and then conduct all sorts of medical experiments on them. He did direct blood transfusions from cadavers into human beings, and by that I mean directly hooking up a human being to a cadaver and pitched that to the U.S. Army in Vietnam, that they could do that on the field between a dead soldier and an injured soldier. So I really see that he's a man who is fascinated by death and not by relieving of suffering.
Well, you know, somebody listening right now, if they hadn't heard the word Kevorkian, could have been thinking of Joseph Mengele when you were talking there.
Well, I think from what I've just said, I could see why they might come to think that.
Well, you know, but at the same time, though, basically, let's be clear, now, the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada is dead against, and so is the House of Commons, for that matter,
mm-hmm.
Against euthanasia of any kind of basically ending someone's life. So, I mean, would that be a fair assessment to say that you're against, whether it was Jack Kevorkian or not, if I just decided tomorrow that I was going to help, bring someone to the end of their life,
mm-hmm.
you would be against that?
Well, that's true, but the issue before us today is, are we going to have, as a society, a true record of who Jack Kevorkian is and why he did what he did, or are we going to have a caricature that paints him in a better light than he actually was?
Okay, do we go to PBS or CBC and ask them to do something? The last time they did that, they still have to put in the, quote, entertainment value. So what you're looking for is a historical, correct, historical, not revisionist, story of Jack Kevorkian.
Well, and we can find that. I mean, I found that by searching through publicly available documents. We can find that. I don't expect that of a movie, but I want to make sure that people don't, if people go and see this movie, for example, that they don't take only that one side of the story, that they know there's much more to this man. I was just reading an article this morning, actually, by Jack Lessenberry, who was a writer for the New York Times and the Boston Globe during the Kevorkian saga. And he says that, and I'll quote him from this article, though Kevorkian's crusade was presented as about relieving suffering, that was an intellectual abstraction for him. He did not emotionally engage with anyone, says this writer who followed him closely between 1993 and 1999. So this wasn't about relieving suffering. Death, he wanted to study death, and the suffering was an intellectual abstraction.
Okay. So basically what we're saying is, or today, for sake of discussion, that Jack Kevorkian's story, that neither one of us have seen the movie, but what you hear about it, it is not the true story that we should be seeing or should be hearing. Can you recommend another book or another movie that people could watch that would give them the true story?
I could recommend a book called Appointment with Dr. Death, by Michael Betzold, and that his last name is spelled Betzold.
Okay.
It's publicly available again. It's an issue that this movie is based on a book written by the man you'll be interviewing soon, who is
yeah.
a close associate,
yeah.
who I have it on public record was one of the ones was involved with Dr. Kevorkian in receiving blood from a cadaver. I can understand how he would want to glorify Dr. Death, but the historical record shows that, and it was well known throughout the 1990s that this was a strange man or a macabre man who had a fascination with death.
Well, it couldn't have been against the law, or he would have been arrested a long time before he was caught, if you will, on 60 Minutes.
Well, the issue was that the law in Michigan on assisted suicide was murky, but the law in Canada is not murky, and it's not murky. The law in Canada is not murky on an individual's rights towards the end of life. If I find myself debilitated at the end of life and on a respirator, I have the right under Canadian law to withdraw the respirator or to refuse it before I'm hooked up.
Mm-hmm.
I have the right to refuse cancer treatment if I want to. I have the right to refuse treatment or withdraw treatment. If I appoint someone to look after me as my power of attorney, they have the right on my behalf to refuse treatment. It's not a situation in Canada where the law in Canada is murky. It clearly outlaws aiding or abetting suicide, and it clearly outlaws murder, but it allows a person to have choice at the end of life, in so far as it goes.
Mm-hmm, yeah, and then it gets down to the nitty-gritty. Well, do I want to be on painkillers to manage the pain for 2 years, or do I want to end it now, which is what a lot of these people say, right?
Well, this is a kind of decision you can't go back on. And for anyone who has had experience in life where they've wanted to commit suicide, and for some way they've worked through it, they've walked through it and come out on the other side, wow, good thing I didn't commit suicide, because I wouldn't have what I have today. And that kind of situation is not possible in all situations, but in many it would be. And I don't want to see someone robbed of the possibility of having a better quality of life, or a good quality of life, a good life afterwards, by cutting it short through assisted suicide or euthanasia.
Okay. All right. I wanted to make, we're talking about Jack Kevorkian. If I'm not mistaken, I've talked to people from your organization before.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Kevorkian and Dr. Morgenthaler are on the same page, in your view?
You know, I wouldn't link these two issues.
Well, wait a minute now. You're either one way or the other. You don't want abortion, and you don't want early suicide, right?
No, we don't want abortion. We don't want early suicide.
So they're both the same.
Because
we're putting a guy like Morgenthaler in the Order of Canada, and you don't agree with that. I've talked to your guys about
that. No, we don't
agree
with
that. Right, so they're both the same kind of bad guys, if you ask me.
Well, certainly we don't agree with either men have done, and we do speak clearly against them.
Okay.
Absolutely.
That's just what I just want to make sure that we know where you're coming from on this, and so the audience knows. And I appreciate your point of view. I do, and I think a lot of people agree with you. I thank you so much for your time. I've got to move on because I'm late already. Neil Nicole is next on 570 News.